Good morning, everybody. Today's reading is taken from the second chapter of Revelation. That can be found on page 1234 of the Church Bibles. And it's verses 18 to 29. Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate this woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering. I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will pay each of you according to your deed. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you, except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule over them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Les. It's now time for Mike to come and explain that all to us.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Very warm welcome from myself as well. We're also going to, this was not Carl's fault because I didn't tell him, we're going to also have another reading as well. So Psalm 2, it's on page 543 in the Church Bibles, 543, Psalm 2. I'm just going to get my specs. Great. Psalm 2, and I'll be starting at verse 1. "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles.' The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, 'I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yes, and please do turn back to Revelation chapter 2. And if someone would like a little video, Hosanna is very welcome to go and have a watch. The rest of you are not allowed, though, right? Before you're tempted. Great. So, yes, back into Revelation, page 1, 2, 3, 4. And let's pray, shall we, and ask for God's help. Father God, we thank you so much for your living word. Father, thank you that you speak into our hearts and our minds, that Jesus is speaking into our hearts and minds. And we pray, Father, as we think about the words of yours further, be working in us, we pray. Draw us closer to Christ. Make us like Christ. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, 10 years ago, the British government came up with something called British values. And I looked it up. Core values apparently include democracy, the rule of law, individual liberty, mutual respect and tolerance. Now, when you only use a few words, the chances are you're going to simplify what's been communicated. But you mean, there's lots of good, isn't there, in democracy and the rule of law and individual liberty and mutual respect and tolerance. But even in that short list, for many in our country, some are more important than others, such as the rule of law. I mean, plenty of people want to take a pick and mix approach to the rule of law, don't they? Oh, how about individual liberty? I mean, that's a huge deal for some people. You know what I mean? I'm free to do what I want. And what if you disagree with the choices that other people make, especially in their individual liberty? Well, we're called to be tolerant. You might not agree with someone's choices or language or hobbies or even fashion. You know what I mean? My children on a daily basis do not put up with my style choices. And there's lots that is good and proper, isn't there, in showing tolerance to each other. Tolerance is a big deal in our world, especially in the Western world, and it should also be a big deal in the church, and so it should be. Jesus, time and again in his ministry, he hung out with people that were rejected by the rest of society, whether that be tax collectors or prostitutes or religious nutters. He tolerated plenty which he did not agree with. And therefore, followers of Jesus should be hugely tolerant people as well. A willingness to love and to accept people who are very different from you and me. Tolerance is often a very good thing. But does that mean we should tolerate everything? I mean, even our world doesn't think we should tolerate everything. I mean, we shouldn't tolerate murder. And most people agree with that. Or theft, or a whole bunch of things. I mean, those are generally agreed, aren't they? But what about the stuff our culture says we should tolerate, but God says, no, you shouldn't? Anyway, a classic example that hits the news headlines from time to time, and the difference in views in, and that the difference in views in what the church thinks about sexual ethics. What is sexual sin? And we're told by various voices in our culture, you should tolerate this, you should even celebrate what the church once called sinful. Well, as we come into the fourth letter, the letter to Thyatira this morning, Jesus wants us to be very clear on one point of tolerance. But before he gets there, first of all, he wants to emphasize the authority Jesus is speaking. The authority Jesus is speaking. Please look with me at verse 18. Sorry, I nearly read from chapter 3. I thought that wasn't looking right. So the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Now, we could spend a whole sermon just unpacking that one sentence. You know what I mean? We could turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7 or Daniel chapter 10 to help us with this. But we'll just limit ourselves to Psalm 2, one of the readings I read earlier, and verse 7. It said this, I proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. A psalm that speaks of God's Son being enthroned in glory. The one true King of the world, of the whole universe even. And you mean, this letter that was written to Thyatira, remember it was a verbal letter to begin with. But this church, it isn't a piece of junk mail that's come through the post, that come through our letterbox on nearly a daily basis. This is way more important. This is the one true King of the universe speaking. A reality that, if you remember chapter 1, intensify, it reminds us of the image that we're given in chapter 1 in 12 to 17. And what does the Apostle John do at the end of that, verse 17, chapter 1, verse 17? When he's seen this awesome Jesus, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. John was blown away by the presence of Jesus. And therefore, what we're about to read in the rest of this letter to Thyatira comes with the weighty authority of God himself. Who's doing the speaking? It matters. I mean, I could stand here this morning and say, everybody, this week, we've got 5 bank holidays this week, all on full pay. It's a nice thought, but I don't imagine for one moment any of you believe me. Now, I don't have that sort of clout. But Jesus does. He is the Son of God. And therefore, as he says, verse 19, chapter 2, verse 19, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. There's real encouragement here, isn't there? I mean, at the beginning of chapter 2, we came across a church in Ephesus. And Jesus praised them, didn't he, for their good deeds and their strong work ethic. But these Christians in Thyatira, they're doing even better. I mean, this was a tight-knit bunch who loved and served and believed. And it wasn't all easy going either, because we get told that they endured as well. It was hard. And this is Jesus saying to them, encouraging things. True things. But there's also a problem as well, and it's a big one. And our second point this morning, do not tolerate wickedness. And as I read verse 20, remember, this isn't Mike Walton saying this, this is Jesus. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. A few weeks ago, Jesus pointed out to the church in Ephesus how they had forsaken their first love. Last week, the church in Pergamum, we saw there some Christians were worshipping idols and were worshipping pretend gods, and they were getting involved in sexual sin. And then the church in Thyatira today, it's not a lack of love. It's not first and foremost about them worshipping false idols, worshipping idols or falling into sexual sin, though it does include that. Instead, what is Jesus getting at here? It's about tolerating certain things. Tolerating it perhaps by their silence. They never speak out about what is being taught, about what is happening. Perhaps it's showing tolerance by their lack of action. I mean, they might voice their disagreement, but never go any further. And Jesus is against tolerance at such times. It's not easy to hear this. You know, I mean, there'll be many people down at Lakeside right now. If they were hearing what I was saying, I'm sure they would have some choice words to send in my direction. But it's here in black and white, isn't it? But what's this problem about Jezebel that Jesus is talking about? Let me read from verse 20 again. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, who by her teaching she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. Now we can be pretty certain there wasn't actually a woman in Thyatira called Jezebel. You might think, why? Well, because in the Old Testament there was a queen called Jezebel. And she was married to one of Israel's kings, and he was called Ahab. And she helped her husband, Jezebel helped her husband, to turn his back on God and to start worshipping idols and to chase after them, to worship pretend gods who didn't even exist. Never mind that small matter of whether those idols were real or not. But that didn't stop Jezebel, it didn't stop Ahab from worshipping them and fall into the sexual immorality that followed as well. And here in Thyatira, such teachings had entered the church. Feasting in the presence of idols and so-called sexual freedom that so often came with such events. Or to be more accurate, this is what was being taught by some in the church. By the likes of Jezebel. Now, we don't get told the exact details about what they were saying, but it's not hard to figure out some of the possibilities. You know, they might have been saying something like this. You can be a Christian, but you can also enjoy everything that the world has to offer. You're allowed to worship Jesus and money at the same time. I mean, there is the idol of old-fashioned pleasure. Or it might be, they might have been saying something along the lines like this. You know, I mean, we know Jesus can forgive us, and Jesus will forgive us anything. And therefore, you can do what you want and just say sorry afterwards. There, the idol is old-fashioned pleasure. Now, we don't get told for certain, but it has to do with worshipping idols, worshipping false gods, and sexual sin that was often practiced in such contexts back in those days. And people were teaching those things in church, and it was wrong. It wasn't just a little bit wrong. It was very wrong. Verse 21, please look with me there. Speaking about Jezebel, oh, the people who were doing Jezebel-type stuff, I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. Jesus had called these people to repent, but they hadn't. These people, the people practicing the false worship, practicing the sexual immorality, the people who were teaching these things, but also the people who didn't do anything about it, the people who tolerated what was going on around them. Verse 20, again, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. Now, we don't get told why they were tolerating it, but it's not hard to guess, is it? No one likes to be unpopular. To be that person that says, I don't think this is right. There's a natural tendency in all of us to want to fit in. And in Thyatira, actually, we don't get told this in Revelation, but we know from elsewhere, they had different trade associations. Yeah, I mean, associations for carpenters and metal workers and cloth workers. And it was very normal for them to have big feasts. And in those feasts, they would be worshipping idols. It was part of the course. And as they did that, guess what quickly followed? Sexual freedom, sexual immorality. And can you imagine being a carpenter in Thyatira at that time? A Christian carpenter, thinking, should I go along? There's so much there that is against Jesus. But if I don't go, I'm going to lose my business. I might even lose my whole livelihood. I mean, that's a big call, isn't it? And then you hear someone like Jezebel or Jezebel type standing up in church and saying, it's all fine, it doesn't matter, Jesus doesn't mind, go along, enjoy it even. Jesus, he doesn't want you to lose your business. And now that carpenter is in two minds. And what about the rest of the church? Are they going to be silent as Jezebel says this? Are they going to take the Jezebel-type person to the Bible and say, look, what you're saying just doesn't fit with Scripture, and Jesus is saying this is really serious. Please stop saying these things, and let me look at the Bible and take time to think and to pray, and God willing, to repent. And if that doesn't happen, after grace has been shown to them, it might get to the point where you need to say, I'm afraid you need to leave the church. Well, those people who are tempted to tolerate Jezebel, are they ready to do all that uncomfortable stuff? Or will they take the easy road and tolerate what Jesus does not tolerate? I want us to pause here for a moment and think about a couple of things. One, sometimes people accuse the church of being obsessed by what goes on in the bedroom between consenting adults. They ask, why does this church make such a big deal of this? And we've got to be honest that in some churches, sexual sin is made out to be the worst sin of sins. And let's be very clear, that is not biblical. The Bible tells us that we rebel and turn our back on God in so many ways. I mean, whether it be greed or pride or self-interest, the love of money. You know, I mean, so many different ways they pain God. And to be fair, honest, we damage ourselves and each other as well. That's what sin does. But there's other times, it seems like the church is, other times it seems like the church is only talking about sex because, to be honest, it's the only thing that the media reports on when it comes to the church. They say quiet about everything else, but when there's something about that, they want to talk about it. And the church can come across as a one-trick pony, even if it's not. So let's be clear, sexual sin is not the worst sin. However, the Bible, Scripture is clear from beginning to end that sexual activity outside of heterosexual marriage is sinful. Or turning the coin over, sexual activity within heterosexual marriage is a blessing from God and can be enjoyed there. But God knows how the temptation of sexual immorality, sexual sin, can pull people away from Jesus. We all know how much sex is an idol in our culture today. I mean, even the possibility of somebody thinking about Jesus, thinking, am I going to have to change my sexual behavior if I start taking Jesus seriously? And even the first thought of that, I think, no way, Jose. And they turn their back on him. And therefore, Jesus says this in verse 22, chapter 2 and verse 22. So I will cast her, that's talking about Jezebel, the false teachers, on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely until they repent of her ways. I will strike their children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your works. Teaching that sexual immorality and idolatry is unimportant. Participating in it, even tolerating it, is serious. And it's so serious. What language Jesus uses, really strong language here, doesn't he? He knows it all. He sees into our hearts. He searches us. And he judges us. Without Christ, we will face his judgments. And there's even language there about children being struck dead. I mean, you think, whoa! But this isn't about Jesus punishing children for the sins of their parents. But the reality is, sadly, in many times, if your parents are doing something, what often happens? The children often follow in their footsteps. It's not automatic, but it's not unusual. And if they do, they also deserve judgment as well. Such sin is devastating and can be passed from generation to generation. And Jesus says, this is serious. These words are meant to go, yo, this is serious. And therefore, remember verse 20. But I have this against you. I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman, Jezebel. Do not tolerate wickedness. Before we move on, I think we just need to be clear about a couple of other things as well, because this is primarily about the problem of tolerating dodgy teaching and sin within the church. We're not meant to go to school tomorrow or to work tomorrow or talk to our neighbour. And if we sort of think, ooh, that person, we know they're living with their other half and they're not married. Ooh, yeah, I mean, stop it, you sexual sinners! I mean, we're not to do that. This is about within the church. And to be fair, even within the church, we shouldn't be talking like that. I mean, the thing that our non-believing work colleagues or friends need the most is what? They need the gospel. Our need for Jesus, his victory at the cross and his resurrection and his call to repent and believe in him. Now, there are times, and there might be times like this for you, but they're pretty rare when I end up talking in a conversation with a non-believer about sexual sin. I don't hide away from it, but there are lots of other things I want to say first. But this is primarily, remember, about within the church. And even within the church here at Cornerstone, yes, we're talking about sexual sin, we're talking about idol worship, but we do it when the Bible talks about it. I mean, there's lots of parts of the Bible which doesn't talk about idolatry or sexual sin. And when we're preaching on those parts, we don't talk about it either. We want God to set the agenda. What he's saying, we want to be saying. And if he says things a lot, we end up saying it a lot because it's in the Bible a lot. If we don't say it much, it's because it's not in the Bible as much. But it's all true. It's all God's word. But one last thing before we briefly get back into the text to finish. Remember who is saying this. It is Jesus, the Son of God himself. Jesus who loves you so much that he went to the cross to die for you and for me. That is love. And this loving Jesus, he knows you and I better than we know ourselves. He knows what is good for us, what is harmful for us. He's not guessing. He's not going, oh, I think that's bad for you and that's good for you. He made you, for crying out loud. He knows. And therefore, when the loving Son of God says, there are certain things my people should not do. They should not be worshipping false gods. They should not be getting involved in sexual immorality. Jesus knows that it's wrong, that it's bad for us. And even when the rest of the world is saying the exact opposite, the question is, who do we trust? I don't know about you, but I want to go for Jesus. I'm not saying I always do because I'm a sinner, but I want to go for Jesus every time. But we so easily act like a toddler, don't we? I mean, the toddler who wants to play with matches. And the parents say no and make sure they can't get to them. And what happens? All hell breaks loose. The toddler is wailing at the top of their things, I want to play! But their parents know best. Well, let's recognize a temptation in all of us to be a spiritual toddler. You know, even in oldies like me. I say to our own hearts, when we're tempted to throw the toys out the pram, when we're tempted to think, God, oh, that bit of sexual immorality, or just not just thinking too much about that idol, that whether it's that pleasure or whatever it happens to be, it won't do any harm. Well, let's not tolerate it in ourselves. Let's tell our hearts, tell our minds, Jesus knows best. And instead of tolerating the intolerable, we hold on to Jesus. Verses 24 and 25. Please look with me there. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. Hold fast to Jesus. Keep trusting him. Keep loving him. Keep enjoying him. Keep verse 19. I know your works, your love, your faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. And remember, if you have tolerated the intolerable, if you have taught or encouraged other Christians to sin, if you have worshipped other things more than Jesus, if you yourself have fallen into sexual sin, many of which I have done over the years, Jesus calls us to repent, to come back to him, to find forgiveness and acceptance and love. Listen, our time is gone. We've got time for questions in a moment, but let's just pray, shall we? Before we go any further. Father God, when you speak to us, it is always good for us, even if it's uncomfortable, even when it's the very opposite to what the world so often says around us. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to trust you this morning, to trust that you know what you're talking about and you have our best interest at heart. And Father, help us to be a church family here that doesn't want to tolerate the intolerable. There are so many things that we do tolerate with each other, and rightly so. But where you tell us things are super serious, help us to take that warning and protect us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.